I'm so excited to share with you that the doors are officially open for my first ever phone-free event that's happening in Los Angeles, California on February 28th at Mudwater Gather in Santa Monica, with the option for you to dive even deeper on March 1st. Now look, this event is about you. It's about you building connections and community and us all really bringing this analog revolution to life and reminding our hearts and souls what we truly crave most, what nourishes our being, which is co-regulating with other humans, having our mirror neurons dance together, sharing experiences together, but also learning together. So on top of all the community and connection possibilities for you, there's also an incredible lineup of speakers. I've got internationally renowned nervous system expert Sarah Baldwin, Nike master trainer Brandon Collingsworth talking about purpose and meaning, and Mandy Balak, who's the president of the Gathering Festival, which is one of the largest marketing and branding conferences in North America. So we're going to be diving deeper into what does the future look like to walk alongside technology and use technology as a tool. Now look, if you want to dive even deeper, there's limited space for a VIP dinner on the Saturday night. And if you want to go even deeper, if it's aligned for leaders, coaches, therapists, entrepreneurs, branding, marketing, whoever is called, there's a mastermind on the Sunday morning with even more limited seating. And that's going to be about what does the future look like to create in this world with technology. So if this sounds like something you're interested in, you want to find out more and save your spot, go to markgroves.com/future. I can't wait to see you there.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Mark Groves Podcast. Today, I want to explore the conversation about should I stay or go? And really living into that question, if we're in a relationship, like what's possible for us, even beyond the should I stay or go? I'm not happy with what's happening currently. How do we create something different? And is that possible, right? That's because it doesn't just have to be, I'm thinking about throwing this relationship away or diving deeper. If we want to change things, if we are not necessarily happy with how it is something different available to us? The conversation I'm sharing with you today is a conversation Kylie and I have at the end of chapter 5 in the audiobook for Liberated Love. And that chapter is called Breaking Up with Normal. And I want to read you the first part of that chapter, just the introductory couple sentences. When you begin to face the truths that live within you individually, as well as between you and your partner, it forces you to ask the difficult question, can we do the work to create a new dynamic together, or is it time to break up? I want to hold how monumental of a question this is, right? Because this is true anyways, and as couples, and if we're dating, married, we don't want to actually confront all of the possible outcomes. But you actually have to be with all the possible outcomes, because the outcome you want to choose is the one that is in best service of each of you individually and what you want to create together. And if you have children too, that's something to bring into your awareness. There's another part here I want to mention, because I think it's going to be very important for setting up the framework of the conversation we have, but I also think it's really important for you to sit with. Now, you could be single and dating, and I want you to know that this conversation is important to know about if you're entering relationship. Sometimes there isn't a shared desire and a mutual commitment to evolution, growth, and a healthy relationship. When this is the case, it's hard to say which way to go and what path to take. What we can say is this: when you choose growth and liberation, those around you and the relationships in your life will shift. Why? Because the next level of love and relationship requires everything to go to the next level too. It requires that who we were as a couple and as individuals dies with the old relationship. This doesn't always mean the dissolution of the partnership, although it certainly can mean that. But it does require the death of old patterns. It requires breaking up. But that breaking up starts with who we were in the previous dynamic. In partnership, sometimes you are reluctant to take the full leap into a new dynamic because you and or your partner are not both all in on taking that deeper dive. Our reluctance can sometimes be because of our lack of trust in our partner to be there when things get hard. A lack of trust that they are leaping too. But do you see that this is still part of the same imprisoned, unliberated pattern? I need to know you'll go there so I can go there. I need to know you're courageous and willing to go to the vulnerable place so I can too, so I won't be alone there. This is the trick though. When you let go of familiar patterns and break up with what was, even if your partner and/or the relationship doesn't survive the leap, you will. When you decide to enter a healing process wholeheartedly, you will be free of the need to make sure that others will join you. Through leaping, you are committed to both love and liberation. What finds you on the other side may not be your partner, but it will be aligned. What does breaking up with normal mean? Well, when we're breaking up with normal, we're breaking up with the roles that we've played and the survival strategies that we've layered on in order to protect ourselves. This is some of the hardest part of transitioning to living from what we might know as what is true for us, living in a life that's now aligned with what we value and what we want to create. Like when we start to take responsibility for the relationships we want to create in our lives, this is one of the hardest steps, is trusting that what is coming forward for us and for the other person is actually in service of both of us. I know for me, for example, when someone has left me or the relationship wasn't for them, I had a lot of resistance to that. I would want to convince them, try, let's do this. I'd want to fight for it. But in hindsight, I actually recognized that if a relationship is not something someone else wants to choose, then it's not something I want to choose either. Like a qualifier for me to invest in something is that someone else wants to invest too. And I think a lot of what breaking up with normal is breaking up with these old patterns, these old ways of being. So if we're the person who has consistently been the one showing up and trying to fight for two people, we can never do enough work for two. Part of our healing, if that's our pattern, is actually taking our energy and putting it back in our own bodies. It's been so outwardly focused that to get back into our own internal world and say, look, actually, if I truly mattered, I'd stop trying to fight for everything when things aren't fighting for me. Now, this isn't to say that there isn't a time to fight for a relationship. Of course, I'm not saying that's not true. What I am saying is if your pattern is to be the one who's always doing it, the healing is to say, you know what? I don't want to do that anymore. I need someone who is willing to show up at the same level. And we have to remember that we are the common denominator in our relational experiences. So if we're choosing people who can't show up fully for us, then it's likely also because we don't create space for people to do it. Maybe we have a hard time receiving love. I say all of this because the things we touch on in the clip you're about to hear, you're going to see are imperative for every relationship in your life, and they are imperative for your romantic relationship so that you can create a baseline and a standard for who you are, how you want to show up to love, to life, and to everything. So without further ado, here is a clip from our audiobook, Chapter 5, Breaking Up with Normal.
All right, Chapter 5, Breaking Up with Normal, aka breaking up with what is familiar, what has been our normal, what has been familiar in our life. And in order to do this work of breaking up with what has been familiar, we really need to resource. And we need to resource well, because our nervous systems, in order to step out of familiar grooves of what has been coded as safe, whether that's shifting an identity or moving out of toxic environments or out of toxic relationships, we need to know that we have an inner foundation available to us to lean back on. Not only an inner foundation, but an external community or person to help us move through this breakup process.
This is one of my favorite chapters because it really poses the question that I needed to pose to myself, you needed to pose to yourself, we needed to pose to each other. It was like, when are we going to get tired of our, like, what's going and what's happening and actually be in service of each other's selves? Like, we shouldn't have to be unhappy to be in a relationship together. We shouldn't have to feel like we're not being brought fully alive by it, that we actually have to turn down our light to be in it. I think what was so confronting for us, I'll speak for myself, but love to hear your thoughts, is that I loved you so deeply and really believed in the possibility of us that was hard to be with. Like, how could someone I have so much reverence for and love for not be my person? Like, not be someone I can do this with? It didn't make any sense. And that was maybe the hardest part for me to confront. But when it was confronted, because it was true, and we got to the place of no more, will this be what we tolerate? Mm-hmm. from what we're creating, not each other on some level, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What do you think?
What we're energizing in the dynamic. It's like, this is fierce love.
Yeah.
This is truly like, this feels to me like the essence of fierce love, where it's like, I can be with this truth, even though it's painful, but this is the most loving truth, which is this isn't working.
And who's going to stand for it? Because usually one person stands for it first, you know? But I think the beauty of this audiobook, if you're listening to it together, is that you can say we both do, you know, in the act of listening to it, that's happening. But also just through, like, who takes the stand, you know? Yeah. Like, when we're single, if you're listening and you're single or you're dating, you take that stand now.
Yeah, you take the stand for sure. And I think, you know, we see a lot of memes of like, jump and the net will appear.
Or, I like those memes. Are you about to insult them?
Well, no, I'm not. I'm not insulting them. I just...
I'm kidding.
From a nervous system perspective, I'm like...
Yeah,
maybe true. Build some stepping stones to help yourself, like...
Jump and safely. You will be dysregulated.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You will be floundering and then you'll have to figure... It's like, I think there's a gentler path that we can walk sometimes by providing ourselves with the resource we need in order to move out of dynamics healthier. Does that make sense? Like for me, when I look at how I left my divorce, that's not how you leave a relationship. Like it was just like, I was like, okay, you're not listening. My soul was like, you're not listening. Okay, we'll just blow that one up. And then like, you'll be floundering, literally trying to figure out who you are and what just happened for the next decade. And it's like,
Yeah, I was so happy to be part of putting that one back together.
But it's true. Like, I was not resourced. Like, that thing blew up and it was like, luckily.
Well, not to mention community was essentially eradicated. So if you don't have community in the time of change and complete disruption, we're not resourced.
Right.
And it's ironic to me that so many of our closest communities exile us when relationships end. I think it's one of the saddest truths of life.
Yeah. I would agree. And I think that was the difference between my divorce and our rupture. Because when we ended our relationship, there was so much growth that we had done within the container relationship, but even prior, that we were able to end it in a good way. We were able to leave with love. I wasn't able to leave previous relationships with love. My emotional maturity was not there. And I think this is the gift of this chapter is really allowing us to resource both internally and externally in ways that allow us to leave things with more honor, with more care, with more grace, with more love. Because that's how adults, mature adults, leave things. They leave them well.
Yeah, what's possible
so that we
for
don't,
love?
So that we don't create more karmic patterns of pain.
Well, look at, like, parents get divorced. They're awful to each other. People go through breakups, they're awful to each other, and then the template keeps getting passed on that endings are not failures. Endings are not failures, right? That could be the most loving thing, and that love can be expanded through these choices.
Yep.
It offers such potential for the world when we interpersonally engage like this. And I know you already heard this, but my favorite part of this chapter is when you stop trying to do everything you can to stay together and instead focus on bringing out each other's light and celebrating each other's truth, no matter how much it hurts, love is truly shared and honored. Mm. That's everything, including that you need to have community and be internally resourced and really consider your nervous system in these leaps is imperative. So we're gonna keep going deeper.
Let's get resourcing.